coins to each other. I suspect lots of us will get them in our stockings this year if you're lucky enough to have a stocking. But I think there's another association between gold coins and Christmas, perhaps not quite such a cheerful one. Perhaps you know Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol. Perhaps you've a favourite version. Perhaps it's this version.
If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be cooked with his own turkey and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Feeling Christmassy? Scrooge has sort of seeped into our language, hasn't it? It's a shorthand for the sort of cruel, cold-hearted, tight-fisted man that you saw on the screen, played brilliantly by Michael Caine there. It's a name that sends chills down your back, doesn't it? That's what the song was about. Brilliant song, actually, to capture the whole story, really. Scrooge is like that Victorian winter wind that goes straight through your favourite thick winter coat and chills you to the very core of your being. He is hard, unfeeling, unloving, tight-fisted. He loved nobody and nobody loved him. He only loved money. And he cared not how cruel he had to be to get it. That was the story. A Christmas Carol is a dramatic short story in which we follow the story of how Scrooge really in one night goes from being ice cold to thawed out. The story of how he moves from disbelief and terror to joy. First, Scrooge is visited by his colleague, Jacob Marley. Not a particularly unusual thing to happen at Christmas. Maybe you've got a colleague here with you this evening. But this one's a bit more unusual because Marley is dead. Now, Scrooge doesn't believe in ghosts. He presumes that he's eaten some bad cheese or something and it's made him hallucinate. But Marley is there and Scrooge is terrified. And Marley warns him. He says, "You're going to become like me when you die, Ebenezer. You're going to be destined to walk the earth wrapped in the chains of your own making. Destined to watch other people having joyful times, family times. Joyful times that you can no longer enjoy yourself because you will be just a spirit walking the earth." And then he says, three more apparitions are going to appear to you. And they're going to tell you the truth, Scrooge. You're going to listen. You're going to learn the truth about the world and yourself before it's too late. First comes the ghost of Christmas past. He's taken back in time to a time when he was happy, when he was just a boy and he had a sister who loved him and he worked for Mr. Fezziwig and they had wonderful, joyful Christmas times together and he was in love with Belle and they were going to get married and it was all great and then he sees the moment where the gold captured his heart and he grew cold to everybody else and everything else and set him on that path to where he is today. And he begins to grieve for that decision because he sees what he's given up. Then comes the ghost of Christmas present, and Scrooge is taken into the homes of a variety of people. His nephew Fred, we just met on the screen there. His employee Bob Cratchit and his son Tiny Tim and the rest of their family. And even Belle with her husband and their many children having a joyful Christmas day. When his name comes up, he's often mocked and scorned, despised as an unfeeling, uncaring man. Finally, already a broken man, Scrooge is shown Christmas future and the darkness. He's taken to the graveyard where he himself has been buried, unloved, unmourned, cold in death as he was in life. All his riches that he chased after left behind to be picked over by thieves and collection agents. Everything he'd accumulated, all that he'd hoarded to himself has been given away anyway. Scrooge suddenly sees that he's given up so much that this world has to offer for that which ends in dust and ashes anyway. Now, Dickens wrote a morality tale. He wrote a story for the Victorians that he lived amongst He lived in London. He saw how materialistic Londoners were becoming, how they pursued empire and commerce and trade, and they didn't much care for anything else. Massively overvaluing the wealth that they were acquiring and simultaneously undervaluing love and family and community. Because as Dickens saw it, they had forgotten Christmas. And Scrooge was just the embodiment of all those worst traits into one person that Dickens saw in the Londoners around him. A world without the world beyond, you see, is a world without hope. It's left to just the cold acquisition of things and then death. And Dickens despaired, and he wanted to encourage people to change. Wanted them to believe that they could change. And Scrooge does see the error of his ways. He sees the wrong turns he has made, and his terror turns to joy as he is changed completely. Scrooge, and it wasn't too late for London. His encounter with something from outside the world, the ghost in his case, showed him that his view of the universe was desperately wrong. It was far too narrow. It was far too limited. He was brought to see the world as it really is, and it brought him to joy. It changed him completely. Now, Scrooge came to mind as I read through that passage that Joshua just read for us. I suspect that it was in Dickens' mind as he was writing A Christmas Carol. The parallels, I think, are striking, aren't they? After all, the shepherds also have an encounter with beings from beyond this world. The angels are warrior messengers from the realms of glory. They are, by their very nature, terrifying, and so the shepherds were terrified. It isn't, I think, hard to imagine, perhaps Dickens imagined, that they were like Scrooge in another way. There they were, looking after their flocks by night, making a living as people need to do. Like Scrooge, they had grown up in a world full of stories of God's mighty deeds, an expectation of Christmas to come. But God hadn't spoken to his people for 400 years. And 400 years is a long time, isn't it? 400 years ago, everyone in this country went to church and believed in the supernatural and loved Jesus. And now, well, 400 years is a long time, isn't it? The shepherds could be forgiven if the candlelight of God's promise had faded so far into the past, it looked as though it had been extinguished. The world disenchanted, cold material reality left. Life had got hard. Invasions by the Greeks and then the Romans. All the old stories, all of the promises must have seemed so much like children's stories, not the reality that ordered the universe. Perhaps you feel like that this evening about Christianity. Or maybe they would have said, if pushed, that they believed in God, but they might then have asked, what use was that in a hard, difficult, brutal world? Of course, I'm slightly speculating on what Dickens was thinking. But just like Scrooge and his ghosts, the appearance of the angels terrifies the shepherds. It completely rewires their reality. They have to change how they see the world. God is real. The angels are real. And the fact that they've come, that the angels have come to them, these slightly smelly outcast shepherds in a little town in the middle of nowhere, tells them that God sees them, cares about them, loves them, sends an army of angels to sing for them, gives them a gift, well, tells them about a gift that has been given. His own son sent into this harsh world to save them from the hardness of the world for the world to come. I don't know what was on their minds, maybe their dinner, maybe who was getting to sleep first shift. But they get that Christmas changes everything, and they run as fast as they can down the hill into the town to find the baby in the manger. Their terror turns to joy as they meet the one who comes from the world beyond to come and live with them, to share life with them, the baby whom the angels worship? Here's my question, I think. What if that one night for Scrooge and that one night for the shepherds is this night for you? What if we're a little bit like the shepherds may have been? Religion is good so far as it goes, but what use is it in a world that is hard and difficult to navigate? What if we're a little bit like Scrooge too? If this world is all there is, then what is there to live for? So maybe we have lived to acquire worldly wealth of some kind. Perhaps like Scrooge, we've just begun to realise that might not be the best choice. Perhaps we've forgotten that the one with the most money doesn't necessarily get the biggest coffin. So what if we're as wrong as Scrooge? Can we countenance that possibility? Wrong about our purpose. If there is a world beyond, we're made for something more than here. And so we're wrong about this world. Wrong about what we're living for. What if that means we made bad choices? What if we've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, and they've hurt us? What if we are suffering unnecessary anguish because we've chosen to be blind to what is in front of us and tried to fight against our nature to take for ourselves what we were never meant to have? What if we're wrong about God? What if he is real, the angels were real, sent from God, from his throne room, to come to show us that God not only is real, but he's paying attention. He sees us, cares for us, came in Jesus Christ to live amongst us and to save us from ourselves and the hardness of this world. And he is coming back to judge the living and the dead. What if we're wrong? Might we be? If you were wrong, if you had just the possibility of being wrong about God, wouldn't you want what Scrooge got? A night where you looked at the end of your life and saw suddenly with clarity what it was worth, that chasing after the wind was pointless. Wouldn't you want to take that opportunity to pay attention, to re-enchant your worldview, to put God back into the picture? And what if the message of the angels to the shepherds is God's message for us this evening? Good news, yes. Great news of great joy for all people everywhere, and yes, everywhere, and that means us. What if the offer to the shepherds to run to the manger is open to us this evening too? What if this world is not all there is, not by a very long chalk? It's a little scary, isn't it? If the universe is weirder and scarier than you realise, that's a difficult thing to move towards, isn't it? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, if I accept that, that's terrifying. All that stuff about angels and demons and flying fire beings, yes, they're real as well. Scary, yes. Doesn't mean it's not true. It would just mean accepting the weirdness of the universe as it really is, not as we like to pretend it is. Of course, if that is true, and if you accept it's true, then you're going to have to change how you stand before God and the world, aren't you? Put God back in the picture means to change the picture. But what if it's true? Even if the prospect is terrifying, what if it's true? If you have space in your thinking, in your imagination about the world for a hidden realm beyond this one, and most people do, I think the rise of all sorts of different worldviews suggests that most of us have a space for that realm, even if we're a little bit scared of the implications of what lives in that realm. Well, let me ask you, what if the baby in the manger is the king of everything that scares you? In this world and the next? What if he rules the unseen realm as well as this one? What if drawing near to him, bowing down and making him your king, will deal with all of your terrors and in place give you everlasting joy. What if that's real? What if, like for the shepherds, it could change everything for the better? What if, like Scrooge, it could change us for the better? Well, John's going to give you a raft of things that you could do to follow that up. If you've got space in your imagination for God, and you're open to the possibility that Jesus might be here, there's a lot of things you could do. One of them, perhaps the best thing you could do, is to take one of these Luke's Gospels. They're completely free at the back there on your way out. We've got a whole stack of them. I think enough for everybody in the building. Please do take one and have a read of it. It's very short, and you can write your questions in it. You can put a highlighter through it. You can throw it out the window if you want to, in fury, if you don't like what it says. But you might just come face to face with God in its pages. And that, I think, would be a worthwhile thing to do this Christmas. Let me pray for us. Our Father, you are very great, and you have done a great thing in sending Jesus into the world. Please would you reveal him to each and every one of us this Christmas. Help us to be open to the extraordinary possibilities that are open to us if Jesus really is who you say he is. And I pray for each and every one that we would come to him joyfully as our King in the days and weeks and months ahead. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.